Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
Playoff hockey. Oh, it just feels good to say. It's coming off your lips. Playoff hockey.
This town will go crazy, Danger. 96 the last time, and starts tonight. We are excited. Amerks in Toronto, round one, and coming to town, he's the host for the Buffalo Sabres telecast on MSG. Brian Duff here to give us a few good minutes. Brian, appreciate your time. How have you been?
Great. Thank you for the Gaslight Anthem intro.
Anytime, Brian. I think I know your taste pretty well. For everyone that was on last year's team that got swept in the first round, Brian, what do you think the lessons are that they're going to learn from that experience? And you were there for those three games last year when they left the playoffs early at the hands of Syracuse.
Well, I think what's amazing is how many aren't there anymore. And, you know, that's a significant turnover by design, because obviously Randy Sexton felt that this team needed to appear different, not only throughout the year, but come playoff time. And I think that'll, you know, factor into some of the tough decisions that Chris Taylor has talked to you guys about. As far as those that remain, well, I mean, Kevin Porter's been through this a million times. So sure. Wayne Simpson as well. I don't know how much more they learn year after year. I think CJ Smith is in an, because of his good work, is in an elevated role and probably takes an awful lot from his first 2 years as a pro into this. I think it's really interesting, though, where you want to label the lines. If the Asplund line is your number two line, they're the line to really look at here, right? I mean, they've been together all year with Olofsson, Asplund, and O'Regan. The two of the three don't have that AHL playoff experience, so they'll lean on probably the quiet line mate, if you will, in O'Regan, as he has been all year long, to just kind of consistently guide them. And, you know, beyond that, I think there's a little bit more skill and scoring balance clearly for this group because of what we've seen over the course of the regular season. But based on the likes of the Dalton Smiths and the Remy Ellis and the Vayus and whoever else comes in, and not to mention on the blue line, there is a little bit more of grit in the lineup, but also overall awareness of what to expect when the playoffs begin. Now, that being said, it's not Syracuse, and it is Toronto, and there's certainly a difference between the two. But I've been saying this for weeks. I mean, there wasn't going to be an easy draw for the Amerks in this first round, regardless of whether they won the division, which they led most of the year, or fell into the two spot. And had Belleville made it instead of Cleveland and had things changed, everybody in that North Division is full marks for being a worthy challenger to this title this year, in my opinion. So all that being said, you can tip your hat to this group for the season that they've put forward, but it really does get hard starting tonight.
Yeah, and what makes this even more difficult, Brian, is the fact that it's a best of five, and that, you know, with it being the sport of hockey, strange things sometimes happen. Scott Wedgwood, we're expecting him to start in goal tonight. How long a leash would you give Wedgwood this postseason run?
Well, I think he's in it for, I would say, the long haul, meaning the bulk of a short series. And again, that's based on the assumption that if the results aren't there in the first couple of games, I don't anticipate it being his problem, i.e. low scoring, close games. The hope is that if it goes more according to the script that the Amerks have crafted all year, is that they do what they've done to Toronto or come close to it, which is winning five of the six. They posted five goals in each of the victories against Toronto this year. So rely on the depth, use your strengths. I don't think goaltending should be, you know, the be-all and end-all. And I can't imagine that we're getting into a scenario where we're talking about the short leash in round number one. I certainly understand where the question comes from, because every team is faced with that. And thus, if Wedgwood had a really difficult first couple of games, then yes, I could see a change happening. Then it would become more interesting as to whether you rely on the guy who's been there for a couple of years in Wilcox, or whether you turn it over to UPL, which I would think is not likely to happen in the immediate future.
Yeah, and we were going to ask you about UPL, because I think we're all high on him, and I think we all kind of want to get a glimpse of what he could look like in this type of scenario. And there are instances in the AHL's past, where whether it be a Carey Price or a Patrick Waugh, where they come in and they just, the team rides their success through the Calder Cup playoffs, but you don't see that happening with UPL. And this is more of a, hey, be a part of this atmosphere, be a part of this grind with us day in and day out.
That's my feeling right now. Yeah. I was happy for Uko to get in a game at the end of the season. I thought that was a nice touch, especially the way his junior year culminated, which was a tough series loss against Ottawa, the best team in the OHL. So it was nice for him to at least end a season, so to speak, on a winning note. But yeah, I just feel like this group is meant to go with the bulk of the guys that have carried the mail all year long right now. And look, you know, when you speak of learning experiences, I think, you know, this is a real challenge for Chris Taylor in this situation too, because, you know, you go back to last year, and I mentioned right off the top the guys that aren't here anymore. Well, he was already dealing with this after a game one loss in Syracuse, and Hudson Fashion came out and never played again, and Justin Bailey was a part of it, and Nick Baptiste was a part of it. And those guys who were thought to be a part of Buffalo's potential future are no longer in the organization. Baptiste, right, of course, is on the Marlies right now, but it just speaks to the turnover and the players that they were relying on last year, and how quickly things can change, and the need to press the right buttons. And I think, you know, there's an awful lot that goes into an improvement like the Amherst had this year. And I think Chris Taylor deserves a lot of credit. When you're massaging the lineup with so many different pieces throughout the course of the year, especially the blue line, I think he's got an awful lot out of this group. But most importantly, I think he's got their trust. And I think that goes a long way going into a matchup when you're starting off against the defending champion.
Pregame tonight at 6 on ESPN Rochester with the puck drop at 7:05. Our guest, Brian Duff. Victor Olofsson became the first 30-goal scorer for the Amherst since Pominville and Vanek both did it in 04-05. Brian, is Olofsson ready to be a top 6 forward in the NHL?
Well, he's definitely an NHLer, in my opinion. The configuration of Buffalo's lineup, i.e., who do they add down the middle to give themselves the opportunity to have three scoring lines. I mean, that would be a dream for the Sabres, and thus it would allow them to utilize wingers in different positions where you're not automatically projecting someone like Olofsson with Eichel. I would say sure. I think top six is a fair assessment. It's kind of why I'm not really focused on Olofsson in this postseason. I feel like everything that he had done prior to this year and everything he's accomplished this year with Rochester mostly, and even the sample size with Buffalo at the end, has proven to me, even if he was to go in some sort of drought here, that he is ready for the next level. He's also 23, and, you know, you can't just keep developing guys. And it's not like Victor's been here for very long. It's only 1 year in North America. I get it. I just think he is clearly ready to take that next step.
Brian, this is the first time that the Amherst have had a playoff series in which they've had home ice back dating back to 2010. But the record for the Amherst has actually been better on the road this season, and in Toronto's as well. Any theories as to why this Amherst team plays better away from the Blue Cross Arena?
That one's impossible to dissect. And you just have to hope that it's some sort of statistical oddity that gets corrected here, especially in game one, because I think this group needs to have that belief that no matter where they're playing, that they can play the way they want to. So, again, you know, it is what it is. I know you guys have been using that phrase a lot too. So, it's odd, right? I mean, as soon as you're presenting the question, I'm like, yeah. And of course they have a record-breaking road season. So, I have a lot of faith in this group, especially the way it seemingly is constructed right now through the first three lines with someone like Tage Thompson, who has an awful lot to learn still and develop within his game. But at the very least, the confidence boost to know that he can score with regularity at this level over his final eight-game cameo, I think puts the team in a really good spot. Criscolo's game was starting to come around after injury. Taylor Lear has certainly been everything that Justin Bailey was, if not more, as far as, you know, offensive consistency this season since his arrival. So I think it gives the group a tremendous opportunity to have the balance that they were lacking clearly last year. And let's be honest, I mean, in the limited games that he did play, Remy Elie proved to be a guy that can be a difference maker, and he knows the Marlies side all too well, having gone to the final and losing to them last year. And if he's on your fourth line or gets moved around up and, you know, through the roster, I think he's really capable of being a guy that can help in more than one way. You know, speaking offensively, he can be a frustrating guy to play against. And I think the net front game for Rochester really, it stepped up when Elie arrived. And I think, you know, when you have different weapons like Thompson added to it late in the year, I like the look that they present from their group of 12.
Brian Duff, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Brian, a best of five is tough. It's dangerous. It is what it is. What must the Amherst do in this series to get by Toronto?
I think just, you know, be as consistent as they can with those lines that we just talked about. The hope being that you trust the game. And again, I love the fact that two of the more talked about players coming into the year were Asplund and Olofsson. And they have literally, and this is, I think, really hard to do in today's sports world, especially hockey, obviously, the way it's configured, is stick with the same line mates. And it's been those three all year. And when healthy, we've seen Smith play for the most part with Porter and Simpson. Continuity is key. Stay the course. And maybe to that point, the best example we can find in being patient and trusting the guys is Chris Taylor and company in their last game against the Marlies this year. When they were down 4-1 in the third, they roared back to win 5-4 in overtime. They went. It was the Olofsson, Asplund, O'Regan line that carried the mail that day. And, you know, those are the types of games where when you're sitting there going, boy, what is going wrong here? We've played this team very well all year. Nothing's working. Taylor stuck to what he knows can work. And I think the trust word is one that comes up an awful lot, especially among good teams. So I'd like to see that stay in place despite, you know, the potential, which the playoffs always present, for immediate adversity. You know, just trust who they are, because I think collectively they've played well with one another and off of one another when you speak of line mates.
Brian, we had Chris Taylor on with us yesterday. He was adamant that there's been no discussions with he and Jason Bottrell about the head coaching position in Buffalo. And it's fair to say that this playoff run, you could make the argument that this is an audition for Taylor, if not in Buffalo, but maybe somewhere down the road. What would you say to that?
I have to think it is. I don't know how close he is to being thought of as the next head coach for the Sabres at this point in time. But this is clearly where you gain that experience. And that's why I think that a lot of this success this year is in large part by how Chris and his staff run things on a daily basis, and it's not just in game. And I guess, you know, that's the beauty of the playoffs, is it just challenges coaches to be that much better. And Chris has always talked about those opportunities. But the redeeming quality for me about Chris is no matter what time of year you happen to come down to the arena, and through whomever's set of eyes that seems to be watching how they run things on practice days, they see consistency, they see urgency, they see intensity. Those are good hallmarks of a coach who has a terrific handle on his players. And You know, so Taylor has done an awful lot right in that regard. And again, how you manage games in these critical situations here in a playoff series just add to the resume. And, you know, I'm hesitant to throw out this guy's name right now because of how it just quickly ended for Tampa. But, you know, when you look at John Cooper going through the ranks, he had USHL championship success, he had AHL championship success, and quickly became very good at what he does at the NHL level. And so, you know, it's just part of the maturation process as a coach. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find too many guys that want to keep climbing to that next level than Chris Taylor. He's a driven individual, and it's just another characteristic to love about him.
Brian, we haven't actually spoken since the Sabres parted ways with Phil Housley.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, why didn't it work out for Housley in Buffalo? What could you point to?
I don't think we have enough time in the sense that and it's not Housley. I just think there, again, is, you know, we're talking about so many different things that went wrong after the team was in a good spot through 2 months. And the one-goal games started going the other way, and then they couldn't find ways to come back like they had been doing in those one-goal games. And then the one-goal game simply disappeared and became 2- and 3-goal losses. And I just think that there's so much more to it than coaching. And that's why, you know, everybody knows that Jason Botterill has to, again, look at this roster, find a way to infuse more skill, which he has talked openly about. It's going to require trades. It's going to require tough decisions. Some of it will be, you know, helped along by what Rochester does or doesn't do here this spring. It's probably not a position of strength to be in as an NHL general manager when you've found a way end up having a season like that once again. But Jason was lauded league-wide, well beyond our market territory, as an incredibly smart, understanding person of the cap world, obviously young talent, and he knows he's got an awful lot of work to do. So there's literally so many ways they can go here, and I just think it's going to require some bold decisions, and I'm anxious to see how many of these players with Rochester can recognize their potential here at this time of year and give themselves the best opportunity possible to go one step further than what they did last year when they were trying to make the Sabres out of camp then. I do think there's a huge opportunity for maybe half a dozen guys here to make that jump. And that may be a stretch for some people to believe, but when the Sabres ended the way they did, all it does is create an opportunity for others who are currently inside the organization and obviously some from outside as well.
Feel the same way. Before we let you go, because you've been very gracious with your time, but we've got to get a quick thought on the NHL playoffs. Were you surprised to see how things went so bad so quickly? Speaking of the Tampa Bay Lightning, what happened to the Lightning in that first round?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised anymore by the number of 2- and 3-goal leads that disappear in playoff games. I feel like those types of situations have been unfolding with great regularity for years now, ever since we've evolved from the trap era. You know what? Columbus, on the surface, after the trade deadline, appeared to be a team with tremendous upside and potential. Their challenge was getting everyone to figure it out collectively, and they stumbled for a few weeks post-deadline. But there's certainly no reason for them not to be able to compete the way they did with Tampa. So if you remove all the games prior, you know, to the trade deadline and just look at a couple of teams down the stretch, and, you know, I don't think it's as big of a surprise based on what Columbus currently has on the roster. I do think John Tortorella did a masterful job, excuse me, as far as the, you know, pre-scout and in-game. But that being said, I found like Tampa was their own worst enemy. There were a lot of situations where they were not outmanned. They just simply made bad decisions with the puck. And, excuse me, for whatever reason, that can happen at this time of year.
You okay, Brian?
I'm good, yes. losing my voice, though.
Well, you know what? You've been very gracious with your time, Brian. We know your time, how busy you are, and you know, now you're losing your voice because you've been on with us so long. So, again, Brian, thank you for your time. Enjoy the game tonight. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. And if we don't, enjoy your time off this offseason. We know how hard you work all season long.
Well, hopefully we'll talk a lot of Amherst well into the spring.
I love guys. That. You got it. Brian Duff, MSG. He is your Sabres host on MSG, along with Marty. Marty Baron, Brian Duff, gracious with his time joining us in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. I should mention tonight, the Amherst on ESPN Rochester, brought to you by Wilbert's. You pull it. Having trouble selling your car online? Will your truck not pass inspection? Sell it to Wilbert's. Call Wilbert's. You pull it. 315-589-2222. Visit them online at WUPI.com or stop in store at 4936 State Route 104 in Williamson. Get cash for your car, truck, van, or SUV today.
We've got a nice note here. Did you see this from Amherst Andy? Before the season begins, the postseason, I want to thank Gene and Danger for always covering the Amherst this season. You guys are the only outlet in town that gives them consistent coverage. And now that everyone is jumping on the bandwagon, I want to say thanks from being there day one of the season. Andy, thank you for listening. Let everybody on the bandwagon right now. This is going to be a fun spring, I think, coming up for the Rochester Americans and for the city of Rochester.
All right, really quick before we take a break here, because we're up against it. We've got Brayton standing by at the arena for some updates. He's our eyes and ears as the gates open at Blue Cross Arena for the start of the Calder Cup playoffs and the Amherst hosting the Marlies tonight. A couple of notes from the NFL. NFL appetizers. An update on Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. His son was actually removed from the custody of he and his wife. This according to the Kansas City Star. Now, that usually only occurs when a judge has determined the child's environment is sufficiently unsafe to justify removing the child from the home and placing the child elsewhere. So the list of behaviors that can result in that kind of discipline under the personal conduct policy includes this. Conduct that poses a genuine danger to the safety and well-being of another person. Basically, nothing is stopping the NFL right now from going after Hill with an aggressive suspension if they want to make an example of him. And at the same time, there's nothing stopping Kansas City from releasing Tyreek Hill altogether because of this ugly situation involving his kid.
That's in Oakland. Unprecedented paranoia right now running rampant, where Mike Mayock and John Gruden have sent their scouts home until after the NFL draft. This is a report today from Ian Rappaport. The GM and the head coach, quote, don't know who to trust. And the fact that someone leaked it to Rappaport, I think, kind of verifies that. It should be noted that many of these scouts were the hires of former GM Reggie McKenzie. Now, why Mayock didn't make his changes back when this time last year, who knows? This ensures there will be no media leaks in what direction the Raiders may be leaning on Thursday. But acting like this lack of trust creates the impression that, yeah, the Raiders right now, Danger, they're just a little dysfunctional.
Yeah. NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We have Brayton Wilson standing by our ears and eyes for the Calder Cup playoffs at Blue Cross Arena. We're going to check in with him live from the arena next. Happy Hour on the way in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.